Good evening, Internet, and welcome once again to another episode of the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. If you missed that wonderful voice of mine last week, I'm back gathered with Brett and Andy. I'm going to put Brett first this week because, gosh darn it, I didn't do it enough. I got used to saying Chad, Andy, and Brett. So tonight, it's me, or let's say Brett, Andy, and I. How about that? We'll put Brett first. How do you feel about that, Brettsky?
I think you should be putting Brett first all the time, but
right.
I'm tired, so
fair enough. Listen, I'm going to apologize on Andy's behalf before he even gets a chance. Andy is absolutely exhausted, and we'll give him a chance to talk about why in just a second. So maybe that's why I jumped all over doing the opening again this week. Of course, I was conspicuous by my absence last week as I unapologetically sat on a beach in Mexico. Sorry, gentlemen.
Did you like my intro? Was it pretty close?
It was adequate. You even used the what is up, Internet. I loved that. I don't know how that's become a thing, but listen, first of all, we want to thank you again for all of your support. This is the Team Ability No Excuses podcast, bringing real talk to disability, matters of disability with no excuses. Glad that I could be back. I'd be lying if I didn't say that I missed it a little bit last week, gentlemen, but I mean, this was not really the closest thing to my thoughts last week as I sat on the beach, but I didn't really do much sitting on the beach. We'll chat about that a little later.
We had a good time without you, so.
Actually, I think it was the best podcast we've ever done.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I'm the guy that gets to listen to the sort of raw one before Andy posts it. So I listened to it already, and we haven't even posted it yet. It should be up in the next couple days. But I listened to it, and it sounded like you're having way too much fun without me. I was like, what's going on? I was getting a little jelly.
Well, I don't think jealous is the word, but we're connected on social media, and you were on there quite a bit. So the fact that you couldn't take an hour to chat with your homies was a little bit insulting. So,
okay. So next time I will set the laptop up from the hotel room and we'll do a remote podcast. Listen, if you think we have some lag issues in the way that we're doing it right now, I don't imagine it would be any better with spotty Wi-Fi all the way from Mexico, but I guess we could find out.
You know, I'm going away to Mexico in December. And if you're expecting me to join you while I'm in Mexico, not happening.
Thanks, man. You make me feel better about myself. I appreciate it. We'll do one without you while you're in Mexico.
Fantastic.
It was also a month ago where I took a vacation and we didn't do a podcast. So I'm just giving you shit. I don't.
You are very good at that. That's right. We didn't even record when you were on vacay. We just said, forget it.
Yeah.
We can't do it without Andy. Nice to know, though, at least that I'm replaceable. You're like, nah, it's only Chad. We could do it without him.
No, it's purely the fact, and this is honest, maybe a little bit of hyperbole, but
good word, Andy. Points for word of the day go to Andy Moore for the word hyperbole.
We're on a good roll here, so I want to keep it going. There's a few things in the works that hopefully we will be able to elaborate on a little more soon, but I don't think it's a good time to stop. So,
yeah, I agree. We are certainly hitting stride, and I tell everybody I guess now's the time to plug the fact that you can go back and listen to all the old episodes on any podcatching device of your choice, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. I've told everybody we get better as it goes. If you're just starting to listen, feel free to start at episode one, but I think we're getting better as we go. Certainly getting better as we brought this schmuck Brett Wills into the fold, and so I think we're starting to hit that stride, and I agree with not losing momentum. Good job, Andrew Paul.
So you guys know we record over the internet. Obviously you two know, but for those of you new listeners, anyways, I record in my home office and I'm sitting here, a couple years ago for Christmas, Amanda got me a, word of the day calendar. And I just happened to be looking at it as you were talking. So any guesses as how far I got on my word of the day calendar?
From 2 years ago?
I'm not sure what year it was.
Okay, so the calendar. So from starting at January 1st, how far did you get?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, and this is a reference for the intellectuals out there, I'm going to go with the Ides of March, March 15th, Julius Caesar. I don't know why I just said that, but
Bresky?
Seemed like a good thing. March 15th.
I was going to say 15 days into the year.
I got to January 3rd, so meaning I did.
So you used two words that year?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Correct. Yeah.
January 1st, January 2nd. By the 3rd, you're like, I'm over it.
Yeah, forget this.
Forget this.
Like, I'm done.
I'm done. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so listen, I want to check in first of all with Andy. I'm going to talk about accessibility in Mexico in a second and some of the obstacles I discovered, which actually weren't really that bad. But we mentioned right off the hop that Andy is absolutely exhausted. If you've been following the podcast, you know that at 38 years old, Andy has decided to learn to ride a bike. And he's been not only talking about that on the podcast, but now chronicling it with vlogs on the Ability Fitness Facebook page and Instagram and such. And so you can check those out if you're interested. But Andy, give us today was day three. Is that correct? 3 out of 5.
Yeah, today was day 3. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so how's it been going so far? And I kind of know the answer to this, but share it with the entire internet, because why not?
Well, you guys know, we've talked. We've both had the trikes. I've had a hand cycle. Brett's had a hand cycle. And those you just kind of get on and go, obviously, because balance is not an issue, right? So I went in thinking it would be a little bit of work, but I had no idea it would be as hard as it is. It has been just kicking my ass for the last 3 days. So what it is the first day you go in, you have a bike and it's got a patented roller, they call it, so you can stabilize your bike. And then they gradually modify that as you go so that you don't really realize that they're doing it. And eventually you get on to two wheels, right? So that's the program in a nutshell, right? So, but I had no idea riding a bike was such a full body workout. Before we hopped on here, I was cutting the vlog for today. And you have two volunteers that go around with you to make sure you don't bail, right? So today, about 20 minutes in, I want to say, my one volunteer, he looked over and he's like, wow, you're working hard today. You're sweating, man. I was like, yeah, this is not easy. So they start you on those rollers, and the staff from the program have been really cool. Anything I wanted to do, they kind of let me do. They just said, don't take close-ups of the rollers because they're patented.
Oh, cool. So like, don't film them too closely because they want to keep their secrets to themselves.
Yeah. So the first day is just getting used to the movement of pumping the pedals, turning, all that stuff. And then the next day is when they start turning more, picking the speed up a little bit, all that kind of stuff, right? So then third day, second day also, they put you on a tandem with one of the instructors, but it's a reverse tandem. Students on the front and the instructors on the back, and he's doing most of the work, but you get a feeling of how riding a bicycle is supposed to feel as opposed to what you've been doing, so you can kind of correct it. And I'm sitting there, and literally, guys, all you do is do laps for an hour to an hour and a half. That's it. You change directions, but all you do is do laps.
Now you're, sorry to jump in, Andy, you're doing this at a hockey arena, right? That has the ice covered up. And so I'm just trying to visualize.
Ice is removed. Yeah.
The ice has been removed. So you've got a smooth surface and you're just doing laps essentially around the hockey arena.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay. it's a smooth service, but if I bail, it's going to hurt. So, so anyways, I'm watching and, everybody else is going and, let me back up. First day, I'm doing laps and I'm starting to get the hang of it. I'm going pretty good. And the instructor comes over and she's like, you're doing okay, but you got to pick your speed up. And, I was like, I like this speed. Like, she's like, no, the bike needs momentum for you to be able to go. So I think the next oldest person, I'm not very good at guessing ages, but they probably like 13 to 16.
Okay. So there's a solid 20 year age gap.
It's pretty humbling to see these kids just fly by. It starts to have a sense after the first day if you're going to make it. And I think I said previously, it's like an 80% success rate or something.
Yeah, you said you didn't want to be the 20.
Yeah.
I think so.
They have a pretty good sense after the first day. And they actually suggested that you wait if you haven't got a bike because they can say yes or no, right? So.
Okay, so I have to. So are you getting like, I need to understand this, and maybe the internet does too. Like, are you getting lapped by children at this point? And again, I know what a competitive guy you are. And we had a chat before sort of going on the air today about how humbling it is. And you mentioned that a little bit. So are the kids like just completely kicking your butt?
Yeah, 100%. There is one guy. There's one guy. He's a lot younger than me. I'm horrible with ages, but I'd say 6 to 8, and he's got Down syndrome. He's a very awesome kid, and when we're out on the arena floor, he's just all over the place. Like his volunteers have their hands full for sure. But the one time he will focus for 30 seconds is when I come up to pass him. And then he's just, he's like, oh, the old guy is passing me. So I have to beat him.
And so, he does.
But everybody else is just zooms. Like it's crazy.
I would imagine. And well, you spoke about how physically difficult it is. Is the humbling aspect like the hardest part? Cause I mean, for me, I can't imagine what it would be like physically. And you've mentioned it being a full body workout, but I imagine my pride, that would be the biggest issue if I was in your shoes. And so you automatically have 148% of my respect for sticking with it. Cause I don't know how my pride would handle that ass kicking by children.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, like, I'm a pretty fit guy. Most weeks I'm at the gym 6 days a week. Right. So I'm in pretty good shape, but, I've never done a workout like this, obviously. And, it's going to be repetition, right?
What muscle group is killing you the most? Or is it just like a total body workout where you're just physically gassed?
My core really is insane.
What is we've sort of been chronicling the motivation behind it and why at 38 years old you decided that you wanted to take part in such an awesome program with kids and learn to ride a bike. Is Maya the big motivation there? The fact that she loves, you know, like, do you see yourself as a dad out for family bike rides? Is that what's getting you through it in these insane moments when you're getting your butt kicked by kids?
Maya, absolutely. But actually just today, one really amazing thing happened. We've talked before. I do fitness classes for kids with special needs as well as adults, right? So one of the boot camps we ran, there was this girl there, and anyways, long story short, she was in the program. She was super shy, but by the end of it, she was high-fiving everybody at the end, and it was really cool. So anyways, at the they stagger all of the campers for this bike program, and it just so happens that she is on after me. So today the instructor took a little extra time because as progressing, but not at the rate of everybody else. So the second group was waiting to go on. And this girl that I had in my class was, like I said, she was in the group that was on after me. And when I was going around on the two-wheel bike, I wasn't staying upright for more than, I think the longest I went was 30 seconds. So one time I was really short, I was like 6 seconds. And out of the bleachers, because it's at a hockey arena, like you said, I hear this girl and she's yelling, "Let's go, Andrew, you can do this, don't give up." And at that point, I just put my head down and kind of did it, right? Because it was kind of neat. But so,
Bretzky, you're pretty quiet over there. What are your thoughts on Andy's excellent biking adventure?
Well, I think in a previous episode, or maybe just between the three of us, I pointed out that I'm immensely proud of Andrew. It takes an awful lot of guts to try and learn something at any time during one's life, but at 38 years old, and especially something that is challenging as riding a bicycle. And I mean, for our listeners, some of them don't have the physical challenges that some of others face, but and again, I'm not trying to make light of those, because you know, we don't really we've overcome everything that we've had thrown at us. But I don't know, I if my mobility was better and I had the opportunity to go learn to ride a two-wheeler, I would probably be shitting bricks.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that. To that point, the instructors, there's two of them. It's actually a really cool program. They bring them in from the States, and they did all this fundraising to make it happen, all this stuff. But both of them said to me at different times, just trust yourself. You're way too tense, right? Like, you would be doing way better if you weren't so tight, right? Which, I mean, Brett, you know, as a driver, you just kind of, I felt like I was 16 years old again, getting my learner's permit, right? Like, overanalyze everything, overreact to everything. And I don't know, at 38 years old, I'm aware that if I fall off my bike, it's going to hurt. So...
So can I jump in and ask a CP question? Andy and I, of course, both have cerebral palsy, and with that comes a lot of tightness and spasticity with muscles and things like that. I think I documented, I did on a previous episode, my bike riding experience as a kid, and the fact that my dad built these like casters to hold my feet and Velcro straps so that my feet couldn't leave the pedals. Are you experiencing any... what I would call maybe like CP problems with your feet slipping off the pedals as you learn to pedal a bike, or has that been just a easygoing sort of thing?
Oh, well, the biggest issue I had, apart from balancing, is getting on and off the bike. But because of what you're talking about, right? Like, I can't bend my leg properly to get it over the frame, which, so when I went to buy my two-wheel bike, I had to actually special order it because they didn't have one with the kind of frame that I needed to not have to step over like the frame. So that was the biggest issue. My feet actually surprisingly don't come off the pedals, except when I feel like I'm gonna fall, which is quite frequently. So they put double-sided tape over the pedal.
Okay. Give it some traction.
To kind of keep them on there. Yeah. But funny story that goes along with that. We've obviously documented my mobility issues, right? So after I'm walking off the floor after the session, and just because I had tape on the pedal, the adhesive obviously transferred onto the shoe.
Yeah.
And I'm walking off, and my foot just like stuck to the ground. You know how you see in like old school like cartoons where they put gum or whatever?
Yeah, and that's literally like, what happened.
So I didn't fall all 3 days on the bike, but I bit it when I was coming off. Yeah, so that's my iKen bike recap.
That's cool, man.
Anyways, so yeah, man, it's been a learning experience and a very humbling experience, like we talked about. And as you both know, by Chad playing hockey with me for so long and Brett against me for so long, I really honestly don't care what other people think. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be posting this day to day on the internet for who knows.
Yeah. And I'm going to shout out those vlogs again, because I've seen the two that you have done and they're very well done. If you want to see Andy in a very tight t-shirt, you can check that out as well. Those vlogs are posted on Andy's business Facebook page, which I believe is Ability Fitness Hamilton. Is that correct, Andy?
I think it's just Ability Fitness. But
oh, and then the Instagram is Ability Fitness Hamilton. So for those that are interested, head over to Facebook, search Ability Fitness, give that page a like. We post all of our podcast stuff there as well, our teaser videos and things. You could see the entire vlog series that Andy has started to document. And again, as he said, literally no shame when it comes to those posts, which is really awesome. You could see how hard he's working. And
sorry to cut you off. I've had a few people comment, like privately, man, you think you should be a little bit more excited that you're learning how to ride a bike. So two things to that. I'm pretty even keel anyways, generally. I don't either get too excited or too upset either way. But beyond that, we filmed the recap at the end of the day, and I'm spent. Like, yeah. Sorry, there's not more emotion involved.
Cool. Nothing else to say about the bike experience. We're done there.
We're done. I think I got 2 days left to learn how to ride a bike. So
you're on the clock, buddy. Okay, listen, I want to transition back to, unfortunately, the thought of Brett in a banana hammock in Mexico. I might have to call that bluff, Brett. I know you said you're headed there in, did you say December?
Early December, yeah.
Awesome. So enjoy your time. That's where I was last week. If you are a faithful listener of the show, first of all, thank you for checking out all of those episodes. And if you are, you know that I did not record with these guys last week as I was traveling to Mexico with my wife and our cousins as we went to Playa del Carmen, Mayan Riviera, Mexico. And it was a fantastic trip. Traveling when you are a wheelchair user does pose its fair share of issues. Andy has documented in the past his trip to Haiti. How much traveling have you done, Brett, in terms of flying on airplanes and like significant travel? Not that driving is not significant, but I think when you're flying, it adds a whole new dynamic.
I have flown all over the western part of our country. I've flown down to Mexico a handful of times. I've flown to Cuba a handful of times.
Okay, so you'd call yourself an experienced flyer then, yes?
Yeah.
Probably more than me. I can literally count on one hand. This was my third trip on an airplane. Once as an 8-year-old child to Florida, last year to the Dominican with my kids and my parents. And then, of course, this trip to Mexico here was. So I guess you could say I've been on 6 airplanes with 3 round trips. But yeah, it's always it's always an adventure. This was my first experience of having my wheelchair thoroughly swabbed by the drug guys, whatever you call those guys. And that happened.
Was that going in or coming out?
Going into Mexico. Yeah, we were leaving to go to Mexico. We were at Pearson. And I was given the pat down, of course. They sort of shuffle you to the side of the metal detector because, of course, when you are a wheelchair user, you are all metal. And that, frankly, even if I wasn't in my chair, I have enough metal in me from various surgeries that I would still set off the alarms. But so given the pat down And then I was asked to transfer out of my chair. So I sat in a chair and they gave the chair a real good look over. I think that you've had a similar experience with Haiti, didn't you, Andy?
Yes, Haiti was my first time traveling on an airplane with a wheelchair, and I couldn't believe the amount of extra security that was involved with traveling in a wheelchair. It was interesting for sure.
Are they even legally allowed to ask you to transfer out of a wheelchair to make sure there's nothing in it?
Did you say, are they allowed?
Are they legally allowed to do
this? I
don't
know. I just did it because I didn't want to mess with the airport security guys. And I mean, to be fair, I can transfer in and out of my chair very easily. So it wasn't a big deal for me. Have you ever had to do that, Brett? Sit in a regular chair so they could thoroughly check your wheelchair?
I haven't. And I think if I was asked to, I would challenge.
Really, eh? Okay. Well, next time I'll push back. This time I didn't. I sat there. I was like, you're not going to find nothing because I'm not that guy. But it did kind of make me think of how many people would take advantage of something like storing, you know, contraband inside of a wheelchair cushion or whatever, whatever they could do. I mean, they can't exactly pick the chair up and run it through the x-ray, I suppose. So maybe that's why they gave it a good look.
I mean, I'm going to tell you that I've been taken advantage of. That's not necessarily the problem.
Oh, boy. Was there a rubber glove involved?
I've been searched rather thoroughly. In fact, on my way back from California one time, they had me hold on for like 45 minutes. They kept swabbing my chair.
Oh, yeah. But never asking you to leave the chair, just sort of swabbing it.
No, they kept swabbing my wheels and swabbing my wheels.
Yeah.
And after I got back and I thought about it, I probably rolled through some powdered drugs while I was visiting Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah. On the streets of LA?
Yeah. So, I mean, we were in Santa Monica. So, I mean, we were in the nice part of California. But, I mean.
Speaking of TSA and airport security, my cousin who came with us works with CBSA, and he's a big guy. He's 6'4" and 200 and some pounds. I didn't ask him how much he weighs, but he's a big dude. So I was grateful to have him with me. There was a couple lifting moments needed, but nothing that I would consider out of the ordinary. The one episode of glaring inaccessibility, of course, and I don't know what I was expecting because, I mean, it was a beach, but of course came at the beach. I did want to go down to the beach. There is something called cenotes in Mexico, which are essentially like little lagoons where fresh water mixes with the seawater, and it's brilliant and beautiful and crystal clear. And of course I wanted to be able to experience that. So my cousins discovered one about 10 minutes away down the beach from our resort. Of course, there was no path to get there other than walking through the sand. So this was also a humbling experience for me. I tried to get as far as I could in the sand, but I mean, when you're talking that kind of beach and that kind of sand, deep sand, you're not going anywhere as a wheelchair user. I have a free wheel, which is an attachment I didn't even bring because it wouldn't have even done anything with that kind of sand. If the sand is packed by the water and it's a firm sand, then you could probably drive over it, but we weren't going anywhere on this sand. So my cousin John says, I'll just pick you up and I'll just carry you to this cenote, which was like, no jokes, a 10 minute walk on like nice, luscious beach. So John's a big dude and he tried to pick me up, and he did pick me up. And first of all, he tried to carry me over his shoulder. That didn't go so well because he had no leverage to pick me up because he's so much taller than me. And I couldn't stand to help him. So then we decided to try to go like sort of wedding style, where I put my arms around his neck and he scooped me under the legs. And we were able to walk. He was able to walk a fair bit of distance down the beach with me like that, while our wives walked beside him with my wheelchair. I don't know what they were carrying my chair for, I guess in case we needed a place to sit. We ended up taking a break. He put me down in the beach. We tried to catch our breath. The heat down there was incredible. And he's just sweating buckets. And I'm not getting any smaller. I'm I'm about 155, 160 pounds without legs. So I'm all trunk, and it was not easy for him to do and easy for me to do. So he ended up putting me down in the sand, and we ended up looking at how far we still had to go. And I said, we looked on the property of the other resort, and we saw a golf cart path leading back to like their maintenance areas that we could take back to our resort. And I said, you know what, speaking of putting your pride aside, I just said, as much as I would love to be able to experience this cenote, this freshwater lagoon thing, there is way too much beach. And he was dying. And I was like, it's not worth it, because we're going to get all the way down there. We're going to have a, you know, 20, 25 minute swim at best. And then you got to come all the way back. Right. So it didn't end up being worth it. He probably would have done it. He was that kind of guy, and they didn't want me to miss out on an amazing experience. So he probably would have kept going if I would have asked him to. I was the one to make the call. I said, let's turn around, let's go up this path right here and just walk back and go back to the pool. So a vast majority of my vacation was spent poolside, because the beach was not an option. We could have paid big bucks and went off the resort, went to do an excursion here and there in this kind of cave and stuff. But even then, I can't be guaranteed that they're going to have an accessible sort of way to do that. I've always tried to make a way to do things, but I've also had to, this trip was an eye opener. I have to sort of accept that sometimes, as much as it sucks, I just can't. So I ended up we got back to the pool, and I told the three of them to go without me. And my wife and my cousins didn't want to go. I said, no, go, because I don't want to be the reason that you guys don't experience that. Right. Like, I will sit in a beach chair out by the pool and be very happy in the sun. Sure, I'll be mopey a little bit that I didn't get to experience it, but I sent my wife with our little GoPro camera and said, take lots of pictures and videos so that I can at least see what it looks like. But I'm not going to be the reason that they can't do that. So they were able to go and experience that as well.
Did you sit in a bathtub with the GoPro as you were watching the footage?
How'd you know, Andy? How'd you know? Here's one more quick sort of accessibility story in regards to Mexico. So we get to Mexico, and I think we had talked before on a previous episode, Andy, about how do you book it so that it's accessible and how do you go through that. And so our travel agent was able to find us an accessible room that had a roll-in shower, which was fantastic. So I was able to a nice big double door bathroom and a roll-in shower. But after the first shower, I discovered that the drain for the shower was on the wrong side of the shower. So it wasn't draining properly. So I could shower very conveniently with a roll-in shower that led to like a little bench area that I could sit and have a shower. I'm getting a little bit too graphic now, but what I discovered was I would flood the bathroom every time I showered. So that was no fun. I mean, I still showered. Don't get me wrong, internet. I had very good hygiene down there, but we ended up having to clean up a little mini flood every time I showered. So yeah, we went through way more towels than we should have in Mexico. They were probably like, what is this guy doing?
Well, you can't be the only guest that happens to, right? If that's the way it was.
No, I don't imagine so. I've been asked before. My mom actually was the first one to ask. So she does. They ask those kind of questions. She goes, so did you see anybody else with a wheelchair down there? And the answer, of course, was no, I didn't. I was the only person down there that used a chair.
No, but I mean, if you set up the room or the tub or whatever that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Somebody else would have had those problems too.
Right.
I would imagine so, yeah. Still hasn't been fixed though. But I wasn't, I didn't go down there to complain. I'm not a complaining guy anyway. So I just sucked it up and cleaned up a few puddles with some towels when I was done. Okay, so that's enough about me and my vacation. I loved it. I will probably do it again, and maybe next time I'll set up a laptop and we'll podcast from wherever the heck I am. But Brett, it seems like we can't go a couple of weeks without talking about something that happened with you on the internet, young man. So I know this was another week of internet tomfoolery, that's a good word. So what'd you do this time? Who'd you piss off, buddy?
Well, first of all, I'm starting to wonder if I should actually be allowed to be on the internet.
Oh, you're fine, man.
Monday I was in a really bad mood. I guess it was because it was the first day of the week, and I came home and I don't know, for some reason when I'm in a bad mood, I tend to start ranting on the internet, on Facebook. So around 5:30 on Monday afternoon, I decided to post something on Facebook, not really realizing that it was going to cause a little bit of backlash. So I posted on Facebook. Sorry, I posted on Facebook, just because you have a disability doesn't mean the world owes you anything. Like everyone else, you must work towards things you feel you deserve. Now let the debate begin.
Yeah, so, I mean, you must have known at that point you were going to open up a can of worms, right? Not that you were trying to stir the pot. You were just, you know, voicing your opinion, and you're an opinionated young man. And that's why we love you here on the No Excuses podcast, because you make no excuses for who you are. But you must have anticipated some backlash.
So I got some responses, and for the most part, they were rather positive. I had a friend, Christina Picton, she's the captain of the Canadian women's sledge hockey team, post on or make a comment on my Facebook, which I actually corrected or amended my statement later. And it said in part, just because you were born doesn't mean the world owes you anything. You have to work for what you want in life. And you know, I don't know. I'm a person with a difference of ability, and I see so much potential in people that have differences of ability that don't use their potential or don't live to their full potential.
Yeah, I've seen that far too much too.
And I mean, I understand that when you're living in a society, greatest country in the world, Canada, you're still not cut enough slack, whatever. Disability pensions, stuff like that aren't nearly enough for people to survive on, especially with things like rates of inflation and the costs of mobility devices and yada, yada, yada. But I strongly believe, and this is the whole point of our podcast, No Excuses, that we're not any different. And no matter what, and I feel like I've said this before, you got to work for what you want.
Able-bodied or differently abled, everybody has bad days. And anybody that says different is not being truthful, right? Some people just hide it better. And the majority of people that we know who have conditions or differently abled, however you want to say it, have just accepted that and they don't want to do anything else. And it is I'll stop short of saying it's sad, but it's eye-opening to think that the fact that I have a job and I have a family is inspiring to people who are able-bodied, right? Like,
it's funny because I was told in no uncertain terms that my attitude towards the topic at hand is, quote, end quote, toxic to my kind.
Oh, that's God. What is your kind?
Yeah, what is your kind?
I would assume they meant
friggin' human. Yeah, exactly.
And it's coming from another person with the difference of
ability. Toxic to your kind. I thought we were trying to – that's brutal. I thought we were trying to, you know, shatter labels, not add to them.
I'll say it this way. One of my good buddies, we were talking about I was in a meeting for some video stuff I want to do, and one gentleman said, I know somebody, one of my good friends has CP too, right? So my buddy who I'm with says, what is CP? Like, I'm not in the loop here. What's CP? And I've known this guy, I don't know, close to 20 years probably. And I kind of looked at him like, what are you talking about? What is CP? And the other guy who who made the comment initially said it's cerebral palsy. It's what Andy has. He kind of looked at me and he scoffed and he said, I don't care that you have CP. You're just Andy, right? And
right.
If more people thought that way, everything would just be easier. Not
sunshine and rainbows. No, that doesn't exist. We've already talked about that before.
Everybody has a purpose, no matter what their difference of ability is. And they're capable of doing something. I don't care if it's volunteering for an hour a day or if their full-time job is trying to navigate taking care of themselves 24 hours a day. That's still something.
All right. Well, listen, Internet, we're going to let Andy get to bed because he needs it. He's exhausted. We've had a great time with you tonight. And again, I say this every week, but it's because I mean it. We really appreciate your support. Andy referenced it earlier. We're picking up steam, getting more and more listeners, and we've got some big things planned, which we hope to be able to tell you about in the future. But thanks again so much for all your support for the Team Ability No Excuses podcast. Bretzky, you're a class act, man. Keep pissing off the internet. I love it. Andy, get to bed, my friend. You deserve it. Brett, have a good night, man.
Thanks, fellas. You too.
Cheers, boys.